Senate Agriculture and Veterans Committee will come to order.
I recognize the man.
Apologize to the veterans. Not all the members are here today, but they will be coming in as we go along. We have a meeting at 3 o'clock, and we have to be out of here no later than 5-2 or 10-2. We have to be out of here. So we will start right in today, and this is Veterans Day, and I'm glad all the veterans showed up here at the Rotunda in the Capitol. And so we'll start with Jerry Kaiser, Chairman of the United Veterans Legislative Council. If you would come up, and I need your name for the record, and let's hear from you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jerry Kaiser. I live in Roseville, Minnesota. I'm currently the Chairman of the United Veterans Legislative Council, a consortium of many of the veterans organizations in the state of Minnesota that meet together monthly to discuss veterans issues and anything having to do with the legislature. Kind of an informative thing. We have both the state legislative people coming up and national congressional offices, our staff, the VA, the hospitals, the military affairs, the reserves. We all kind of meet each month and tell each other what's going on, and it's a great forum. And I'd invite any one of you legislators to certainly come out and see us. It's a pleasure to speak to you about what we do. And, of course, we're 100% behind the veteran support and military support initiative that the government governor put out today. And I thank all of you who were there. I see most of you were. And Senator Vickerman, for your support, and all the other congressional, senatorial members in that particular capacity. Thank you for your support. And if you have any questions, I'd certainly be willing to entertain them.
Any questions from the members? Senator Chaudhry.
We had met in the hall. You had mentioned about the new website. How is that going, and is it providing access to services in a new way or better way?
Well,
than
there's
had before.
Two websites, Representative and Senator. Excuse me, I didn't mean to insult you. One is the Minnesota UVL. It's www.mnuvlc.org. That's the website for the UVLC. The other website, which is the one put out by the Veteran Affairs, is minnesotaveterans.org. Is that correct? And that has all the information that we're talking about. Clark Dyerud and his fine staff have put together a great program with that. And it's going well. You can, on our website, you can get the last month's meeting minutes and other things that we're trying to do. And, of course, the veterans site is got a plethora of stuff to look at.
Any other questions? No, thank you very much for being here today. I'm going to ask Mr. Robert Cook, who represents the Red Lake Indian Nation. You'll come up and say a few words. We want you to be part of this veterans group because there's a lot of tribal members that are veterans. And so I want to hear from you today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Robert Cook. I'm from the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota. And I'm here today on behalf of the tribal veteran service officers that we are trying to get started on our some of our northern tribes. I've been meeting with some of the combat veterans in northern Minnesota, some who are some of the non-members that are Vietnam veterans, and we determined that some of the tribal members that we have on the isolated reservations, that we're not only isolated geographically, but sometimes physically, mentally, and spiritually, when we come back from the wars and with these lasting consequences, you know, to the families that we come back to and our loved ones and stuff. But So we determined that there is a need for tribal veteran service officers, so that we still have some World War II veterans, not very many, but, you know, all the way back to World War II, that have never accessed any of these things that they're entitled to. And we would just like your support in taking care of this matter, or so that future generations of veterans won't be, Native veterans especially, won't be, without these services. Thank you.
Any other questions in the audience? Senator Chaudhry.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Can you talk about the percentage of tribal members that actually enter the armed services?
Well, statewide, I think you're looking at 30% of the Native veterans that actually enlist in the armed forces, too.
And Mr. Chair, Mr. Cook, about how many do those veterans come back to the reservations by and large, or do they kind of assimilate into the general populace? What is the kind of the veteran population, combat or not, in the on the actual reservations?
Well, speaking from the Red Lake standpoint, we basically come back home to the Red Lake Reservation, and that's where we generally end up there or near there. And some that served in wartime, and there are a lot of them that, you know, just like there's a miscommunication there between the actual veterans organizations and the veterans themselves, because a lot of them that didn't serve in the war between, like, in after Korea and in Vietnam, they went to a VFW or a Legion and asked to join, and they said, well, you're not eligible to join these. And said, so they figured they weren't eligible for any, that's where the miscommunication came in, for any services at all. So, yeah, they mostly come back home and eventually end up there.
Thank you.
Senator Engelbertson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for your testimony. Are you fairly new here? Are you telling me then that the your population is not eligible for any of the veterans organizations?
Saying that they're not aware of, in a lot of instances, they're not aware of these services.
Okay. So there's some kind of a breakdown there, then?
Yes, there is, yeah, between the county in a lot of ways, and like I say, we're isolated in different ways.
Right. Thanks.
Any further questions? If not, thank you very much for showing up here today.
Thank you for your support.
Before we bring the other Commander Task Force members up, I want to take a minute and recognize Steve Stone. He's a Pennington County President, Minnesota Association of County Veterans Service Officers. If you'd stand up, and you're a very important part of the Veterans Association.
Thank you
for coming down here today.
Thanks.
Now I'm going to ask, I think I'll do this in threes. And Al Lehr, Department Legislative Chair of the Veterans of Foreign Wars, if he would come up there, and John Cox, Department Commander of the American Legion, and Bob Connor, Department of Adjutant Military Order of Purple Hearts. And I believe, Al, Mr. Lehr, that Tate Dooms is going to speak for you, or he can come up here. Mr. Dooms.
Tate's going to speak for you.
Okay. I got everybody up there. And Tate Dooms, you're from Marshall, I believe.
Yes, sir. Yes, under I am.
Pretty close to me.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Whoever wants to start, let's hear from you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Tate Dooms. I'm the State Commander of Veterans of Foreign Wars. In your packets, you have the VFW Fetches Forest War Story. They're actually being handed out right now, along with our mission statement of what we accomplish as the Veterans of Foreign Wars. I asked Mr. Lair, my close personal friend, to be here today for all statements to Mr. Lair as he wants to speak.
Thank you very much, Senator Vickerman, members of the committee. It's good to be back. I kind of miss this place. It's been a few years since I was here, but it's always good to come and exchange pleasantries with a group of fine public officials. I'm going to be very brief. My job is a legislative officer for the Veterans of Foreign Wars of the United States in Minnesota. I also hold a position in the National Legislative Committee of the Veterans of Foreign Wars in Washington, D.C. My job primarily is to keep our membership in Minnesota apprised of what the national federal legislative initiatives are and how they compare and coordinate with the entitlements that you have here in Minnesota. So with that, I'll turn the comments over to the director of our claims office in St. Paul, Tom Hansen.
Thank you, Al. My name is Tom Hansen. I am the director of the VFW claims office at Fort Snelling. Thank you, Chairman and members, for hearing our testimony today. The purpose, obviously, of the VFW is similar to the other service organizations. Our founders believed that the returning veterans deserved some kind of special treatment because they were special people, and we continue to believe that to this day. We are involved with veteran service as our main function, and that's my job for the VFW is to head up the veteran service function. The appropriation that we receive from the state legislature is used entirely for our veteran service office, our veteran service work. 100% of the money that the state offers to us goes to our program to assist veterans with representation in front of the Department of Veterans Affairs, or the VA, for the purpose of mostly compensation benefits, but as well survivor benefits for any dependents that that may require our assistance as well. The other VFW programs, I think, are spelled out in the VFW story that's been presented to you. I'm not going to obviously sit here and read for you the VFW story. The thrust of our testimony today is merely to advise the committee members that of the funds that are provided to the VFW to provide the services that we do for veteran service essentially generates millions of dollars in revenue for state taxpayers, and as well by the VFW running their own claims service office. We're taking away some of the business from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, if you will. So there's anybody that designates the VFW as their representative, then we file that claim on their behalf. The savings to the taxpayers is, in fact, in fewer services through the State Department of Veterans Affairs, and less service officers that they would have to hire to provide that service. So, in a nutshell, that's essentially what our function in veteran service is to provide representation to veterans and their dependents in front of the VA and assist them in the appeals process if the VA has given them an unfavorable determination. I have nothing further to offer. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to entertain those. Thank you.
I think we'll hold the questions till all of four of you speak, and then I'll open it up for if you have some questions. So welcome to the committee and state your name for the record.
My name is John Cox, Chairman Vickerman and the rest of the committee, and I'm Department Commander for the American Legion, the state of Minnesota, and I'm also the Vice Chair of the Commander's Task Force. The American Legion is the largest congressionally chartered veteran service organization in the nation, with over 2.7 million members in the nation, and over 106,000 members in the state of Minnesota, with 582 posts across the state. The Legion was founded by the Doughboys coming home from World War I. They wanted an association that would allow them to continue their comradeship while being able to serve their fellow veterans and serve their country. Minnesota played a key role in the founding of the organization, as Minneapolis was the first site of a national convention in 1919. The Legion adopted its constitution and set its course for the future at that convention. The Legion has never stopped fighting for veterans' rights, and during World War II, a former American Legion national commander penned a piece of work at a Washington hotel room that has been called the greatest legislation in the 20th century. It was called the GI Bill, and its home buying and educational benefits changed the face of America today. The American Legion has used its great man and woman power to create many programs that benefit our youth and our communities. Our Boys State and Girls State programs teach almost 1,000 high schoolers each year in Minnesota about democracy, while giving them a hands-on experience in creating a representative government. The oratorical contest allows students to sharpen their forensic skills while learning more about our Constitution. The baseball program in Minnesota provides a disciplined and fun experience for over 6,000 young ball players in the American Legion each year. 54% of last year's Major League professional ball players were graduates of the American Legion baseball. This turn here. Minnesota also has another program unique in the nation, which provides school safety patrol training for over 1,400 grade school children each year. Legionville near Brainerd operates in cooperation with the Minnesota State Patrol to provide training and fun for our state's young people. This past year, a young girl saved her grandmother's life by using the Heimlich maneuver, which she learned while at school training patrol at Legionville this past summer. Her mother choked on some meat at Thanksgiving. She got up and gave her grandmother the Heimlich maneuver and saved her life. The Minnesota American Legion also is heavily involved in scouting, and its posts provide hundreds of scholarships each year. The post home is often the center of the Minnesota communities, providing a venue for weddings, neighborhood meetings, patriotic celebrations, and shelter in time of crisis. The American Legion Child Welfare Fund recently awarded $611,381 to 21 nonprofit organizations. Two of these grants were awarded to organizations in Minnesota. Family and Children's Service of Minneapolis was awarded $36,000 for its project, Children in Change and Seeing Red. Tools for helping our nation's children manage strong emotions. The University of Minnesota was awarded $16,200 for its project, Team Talk, a survival guide for parents of teenagers. And during these times, American Legion is a key player in the Family Support Network and the reintegration programs that work to take care of our soldiers overseas and their families at home. Our commitment to these newest veterans and their families is unwavering. Dozens of active duty units, National Guard armories, and reserve centers have been adopted by American Legion posts across the state and provide troop support Our full-time American Legion service, veteran service officer, works at the discretion of our Veterans Affairs and Rehabilitation Committee to provide outreach to all veterans in Minnesota. Brain science research. $1 million was raised by the American Legion family in Minnesota. This program is a collaboration among the American Legion, the Minneapolis Veterans Medical Center, and the University of Minnesota. Heart research. $1 million was raised by the American Legion family to fund a program that was instrumental in making heart transplants and other procedures routine today. This is also a collaborative effort between the American Legion, the Minneapolis Veterans Medical Center, and the University of Minnesota. The American Legion Pheasant Fund provides pheasant dinners to all veterans in our VA medical centers and Minnesota veterans' homes. Any excess revenue from these funds is used to support the infrastructure in these institutions. The American Legion has lived up to the great dreams those doughboys had in 1919. Its members are still serving America, still providing that volunteer spirit that glues America together, and still looking out for our comrades. The American Legion is deeply concerned about the future of America and Minnesota, and we act on that concern throughout our programs, our resources, and our deep-seated love of country. When you stop to consider all the positive things we do, there is no other organization that can come close to matching our record. We can be proud of our heritage. Founded in 1919 by veterans of World War I, the principles of our organization are relevant today as they were then. Thank you.
I need your name for the record and welcome.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Bob Connor. I'm the Department Adjutant for the Military Order of the Purple Heart. Along with me today, and please stand, our Commander Clayton Ehrman. The Military Order of the Purple Heart is a unique organization because all our members of the order have sustained a wound or injury inflicted in combat by the enemy. I have a prepared statement here that has been distributed to all of you, so in the interest of time, I'll just hit some of the highlights of it. Our order exists not only to serve the combat wounded, but all veterans and their dependents, and all services we provide are at no charge to the veteran. We're extremely proud of our hospital service officers located at the VA Medical Center in Minneapolis. Each day at our office in the Social Services Department at the hospital, our members on duty visit patients and assist them in their needs to file claims or other concerns for themselves and their families. We also make sure that our members who are hospitalized are visited. We have a national service officer at the Whipple Building to represent veterans for their claims before the federal government. Because of the name of our organization, we get a large number of requests for those veterans who were not properly awarded or did not receive and feel they deserve the Purple Heart Medal. And we gladly take on the help with the veteran to get them the medal that they deserve. We have a good working relationship with the Department of Veterans Affairs and are happy to have our Commissioner Clark Dyrud as a member of our organization. We support the budget proposal of the Department of Veterans Affairs, and one of the items in that proposal is for the tax benefit for retirees, and Commander Ehrman is a retired Army warrant officer, so he would be definitely a beneficiary of that. We look forward to a cooperative effort with the Department of Veterans Affairs and the County Veterans Service Officers in transitioning our Minnesota servicemen and women back into civilian life when they return from fulfilling their military duties. I thank the committee for the opportunity to appear before you today and be glad to answer any questions you may have.
Senator Cobley.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess, my comment is to Mr. Cox. I've been a member of the American Legion for a dozen years or a little better, and it seems like most of the people that I talk to are concerned that they're not able to attract members into the organization But I joined the organization, you know, quite a while after I had been in the military during the Vietnam era. I didn't see any combat duty, that is, until I agreed to teach school in San Antonio. But after I'd been out for probably 20-plus years, the commander of the Legion Post thanked me for having been in during the Vietnam era, and nobody had ever said that to me. And the next day, the membership officer came to visit me, and I joined just because it felt so good to have somebody say thanks, you know. So I don't know. I guess I'd just offer that to all of you in the room. You know, I ran across two veterans from the Vietnam era when I was on the campaign trail, and I thanked this one fellow, and he actually started to cry. He said nobody had ever thanked him for having been in. So, you know, it seems to me that if we're missing a whole group of folks, that, you know, maybe there's a reason they haven't joined. You know, nobody's ever, you know, I know Vietnam wasn't a popular time, but, you know, most of those folks went because, you know, their dads went to the Second World War, their uncles went to Korea, and, I mean, you know. So I think a lot of them just need a little recognition that their contribution was important, too. So just for your consideration.
Well, you're absolutely right, Senator. We have a motto in the American Legion, and I don't have one of the buttons on today, but it says, just ask. I happened to be in Clearwater Saturday evening after I left St. Joseph, and there was a young man in there in the Legion post, and I walked up to him. I said, do you belong to American Legion? He says, well, I did in the cities, but I quit since I moved up here. Well, before I left there, about 20 minutes later, we had signed him up to the American Legion in Clearwater. And we're encouraging all of our people. In fact, we're working on a letter that's going out now, and I know from the American Legion, for every member in the American Legion of the folks that are members to go out and find, renew one member or sign up a new member before the 1st of March. And that's a challenge that we're throwing out to all our people.
Well, thank you.
Senator Erickson-Robes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, gentlemen, for the review of the great organizations that you represent. And like Senator Kubley, I'd like to thank everyone in this room who has done some service. I'm a veteran myself. I think some of you know that. I served for 5 years in the Navy Nurse Corps. And there's two points I want to make. One is due to membership. We were talking about membership. I'm a peacetime vet, and I'm not allowed to join some of the organizations. So as you're looking at diminishing numbers in your organizations, you know, I would encourage you at the state level and your federal comrades to think about perhaps allowing peacetime vets to join some of the organizations. And I wanted to thank the comment one of you gentlemen made earlier about the men and women in service, so thank you for that acknowledgement. As a nurse, one of the things I'm worried about coming up is how we're taking care of our newest veterans coming back. And I've been really privileged to have toured the Minneapolis Veterans Home recently, and I'm particularly struck by the fact that we have had a very recent loss in Minnesota of the life of a young recently returned veteran who took his own life due to depression. And this was a young man who reached out for help to us. And, you know, I want to really make sure that we're there for all the rest of the veterans coming back and that we do not fail our veterans and our veterans' families. So, Mr. Chair, I wonder if we could just take a moment of silence to recognize this young man who's our most recent loss.
And Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Madam Senator, could I ask you a question? You said you weren't eligible for the American Legion.
That's what I believe. I've tried a few times to ask about membership. And
what were your periods of service?
77 to 82. I think that's the block out the period. I am a member of AMVETS, however.
Good.
Senator Shadrick.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And thank you, gentlemen, as well, and everyone in the room for your service to our country. It's well appreciated. I'm not a veteran. I have a brother in active duty, but we appreciate all the work you've done. I have a question about membership as well and in your recruitment. We heard from Mr. Cook earlier from the Red Lake Tribe that 30% of their membership, 30% of, I think he said their membership or the Native American population as a whole. I can't quite sure, but it was 30%. It's a high number.
Native American population.
The whole population? Is a member of the armed services. And I'm aware that there's a large number of other minority groups in the armed services as well. But as I look around the room and the various legions and VFWs that I've visited around my district and other areas, I see very little minority membership in these organizations. Could you explain that gap between active duty membership amongst minority populations and the veterans groups?
I can speak for the American Legion, Senator. We have a post in Cass Lake. We have another one that we're working on right now. We'll probably be going up there in the next couple weeks at the Fond du Lac Indian Reservation. They have a new veteran service officer, a young lady up there, a tribal veteran service officer, and she has all the books, all the information, and we hope to go up there within the next 2 weeks and get the temporary charter signed, and we will send that in. They already have enough members to qualify for the post and more, so we're hoping within the next 2 weeks we'll be able to establish that post. But we have other Indian reservations, tribal reservations that do have posts. There's one up in Bena, in that area, that have Legion posts.
Thank you, men, for showing, just to follow for up, showing up here. Do we need to move on? Because I have to be out of here by 5-4 at the very latest. So we'll go through a lot of the veterans legislation, and maybe Senator Chaudhry, you can work that question in as we go further along.
Sure.
Thank you, and I need to move on quickly. Dick Carroll, the Department of Legislative Representative in the American Ex-Prisoners of War. Then I have Tim O'Connor, Department Adjutant, Disabled American Veterans. Xavier Gagnon, Legislative Representative Marine Corps League. And Sid Schumacher, Department Commander, Jewish War Veterans. And if I murdered your name, blame it on the media to try to follow. Welcome to the committee, and let's hear from you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senators. It's really nice to be here today. If Dick Carroll were here, he'd say he was an old geezer, and I'm not quite as old as he is. My name is David Claypoole, and I'm the state commander for the American Ex-Prisoners of War, and I'm a next of kin. My father was a prisoner of war. As a next of kin, I'm very honored to represent the American Ex-Prisoners of War. And as their state commander, I'm here representing my father and those other World War II veterans and Korean veterans that were prisoners of war. This organization began shortly after World War II. In fact, it was started by two ladies whose loved ones were on the Bataan Death March. And that's who started us, and we, I believe, are the only organization that have spouses as full membership, and next of kin also has membership. Our motto is to help those who cannot help themselves, and that's been that idea, the spirit that's existed in the POW group to help each other out all these years. And in that spirit, we're here to encourage your support of the veterans' bills and the initiative as presented by the governor. It will help us to do our work with state and federal veterans affairs departments. We have taken the steps to build a 21 presumptive disease classes for the POWs nationally and to ensure that POWs have filed necessary claims. We are still filing claims. Dick Carroll, who is our legislative person and a national service officer, is still filing claims almost every time we get together. Someplace, someone hasn't got it done yet. Our representatives continue to work on the endless job of making sure that the veterans get all of all the wars get due compensation. Our group is older, and we have had to close two of our chapters because they've lost enough of their members. But we still have volunteers, and we have volunteers in legislation. We have volunteers in hospitals, rifle squads, and other veterans' activities. And these gentlemen and their wives are busy doing things like that. I wish you could have met Dick today. Dick is a national service officer. He's the junior vice chair of our organization. And Dick has a bullet in his heart. He's had the bullet in his heart ever since his B-24 burned up and he had to jump out in World War II. And he's busy every day. And we went to Virginia on Saturday, and Dick was there. We closed one of our chapters. And this is a man who's dedicated to helping those who can't help themselves. That's what we do in our organization. We're not a big political sort of an organization such as the others, and thank God they're there to be able to help to get things done that we can do too. This past week, I would like to say that he assisted a widow with two young children whose husband died 4 days after he was medically discharged from active duty. That's our Dick Carroll. That's what our veterans, our POWs do for others. And she will, and in 2 weeks, have all her benefits. And if it wasn't for Dick Carroll, I'm not sure what would have happened. They didn't know where to turn. So we're proud of that. And as I said, the wives and the widows, as well as the next of kin, are there to work with everybody, with the actual POWs. And I would like to say I do have our senior vice chair, Harold Brick, here, who is a real POW, not like me. And he's here today as well. I'd like you to leave you with the idea that all the veterans are deserving of our help, especially those that have been in combat. We treat our National Guard very well, and God knows they deserve any of the good things that we can do for them. But what you must never forget are the hundreds of troops that come from Minnesota that are in the reserve units and active enlistments. We need to remember that when you're working on this bill, you're working not only for the National Guard that's in Minnesota, but you're working for each one of those people. Some desperately need our help. My son is one of those. And he desperately needs help. He's an example of a lot of people that desperately need some help, and if we can get them back to Minnesota and we have these programs in place, these kids will come back to Minnesota, and it doesn't make any difference how old they are. They're all kids when they're singling out there shooting, getting shot at, and we need to help those people. And I think why we can be successful, if we can get the money, is because we're already pretty successful. And the reason is we have the greatest people working in our organizations here with veterans in this state than any place I've ever seen. And I just really have to, from Commissioner Dyrud on down. And I think that's why it's so important that we can put some money together with this ability to do these things. So thank you very much for your attention.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my fellow veterans. My name is Tim O'Connor. I'm the state adjutant with the Disabled American Veterans. I'd just briefly like to recognize our state commander, Dan Hill, and I'll be speaking on his behalf. I'd like to begin with our mission statement, which is building better lives for America's disabled veterans and their families. The Minnesota DAV, in addition to providing for our local communities, DAV veteran volunteers are active at the VA medical centers, Minnesota veterans homes, community-based outpatient clinics, VA contract nursing homes, adult daycare centers, and community hospice centers. DAV support is strong and committed at the veterans' homes, the VA medical centers, and our CBOCs. Minnesota disabled veterans receive our help in all corners of our state, to include our nursing homes, local hospitals, assisted living centers, senior citizen centers, disaster-stricken areas, and our deployed units.
And for an example, we're currently working with Chaplain John Morris and the 1st Brigade Combat Team with the reintegration program going on. I don't know when our 1st Brigade will be coming home because of the extension, but we will be there in support of them when they do return home. Our two major programs that I really want to outline are National Service Officer out at the federal building that support our veterans claims and benefits, and our DAV transportation program at the VAMCs in St. Cloud and Minneapolis, as well as our Minnesota surrounding counties. Support rides to and from the VAMC for medical appointments for our veterans. Just at a quick glance, there are approximately 440,000 veterans in the state of Minnesota. Minnesota DAV membership is approximately 20,000, and there are approximately 45,000 disabled veterans in the state of Minnesota. In fiscal year 2006, DAV representation before the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs resulted in over $64 million in new benefits to Minnesota veterans. Over 2,300 Minnesota veterans received new benefits. Over 1,900 veterans had their claims maintained, and 1,000 veterans had claims increased through our Minnesota DAV service officer representation. In addition, 114 widows and families were awarded over $1.2 million in claims. In fiscal year 06, the transportation network provided over 32,000 individual rides to VA medical appointments, comprising over 2.3 million miles traveled by volunteer drivers. And I want to stress volunteer drivers. Once again, those are veterans serving veterans. Volunteer efforts by DAV chapters, county veteran service officers, and other veteran service organizations resulted in over 99,000 volunteer hours donated in the DAV transportation program. Minnesota DAV provided major funding for the current hospice rooms being built at the St. Cloud VAMC, and they provide the TV programming service to the entire Minneapolis VAMC. They also donated two transportation vans to both Minnesota VAMCs in 2005 and 2006. I'll be brief, and I just want to conclude by saying thank you for your time, Mr. Chairman, committee members, and as a unified front, all the VSOs need your support in the legislative agenda and proposal by the governor so we can continue veterans serving veterans. Thank you.
Sir.
My name is Xavier Gagneau. I am the legislative representative for the Marine Corps League. The Marine Corps League in the state of Minnesota has 13 detachments scattered throughout the state. We are a nonprofit organization. We do not have a post building of our own. We meet at various posts of the American Legion and the Veterans of Foreign Wars through the courtesy and cooperation and hospitality of those organizations. Our membership is approximately 500 at this time. A member who has served in the Marine Corps or the Marine Corps Reserve for 90 consecutive days is eligible to become a member of the Marine Corps League, regardless of time or place. The Marine Corps League was founded in 1923 by retired Marine General, past Commandant of the Marine Corps, John A. Lejeune. The 75th Congress gave the Marine Corps League a charter in 1937, which was signed by President Franklin Roosevelt. The purpose of the Marine Corps League was to assist the Marines and their families that were currently serving in service, who are in trouble at home. The Marines who, once they're out of service, to help them adjust to civilian life and contribute to the goodness of the country. And shortly after the Second World War, President Truman, for some reason, known only to Harry Truman and the then head of the Joint Chiefs, George C. Marshall, decided to disband the Marine Corps. And it was through the legislative branch of the government, Congress appropriated the funds and decided that the Marine Corps would have a standing strength of three divisions. So the Marine Corps and consequently the Marine Corps League owes its very existence today to the legislative branch of this country. So I therefore ask this legislative branch to consider all the proposals that the Commander's Task Force and the Governor's Agenda has put forth with due diligence and consideration. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate Committee, my name is Sid Schmuckler. I'm the Department Commander of the Jewish War Veterans, also a member of the Commander's Task Force. I know that time is of the essence, so I'll concur on, we do the same thing the other organizations do when we work with them. Our members are also members of the VFW and the American Legion, the DAV, but we have one unique thing. We were founded in 1896. We are the oldest active veterans organization in the United States, 1896. I'd like to comment on the governor's agenda and the things that we're trying to get through this legislature. Please give it your consideration. We got a bunch of boys, youngsters coming back. Let's send them the right message. Let them know that we care and we're going to take care of them when they get back. Thank you.
Thank you, members. Members, for I'm going to hold up questions because I want to get the next two gentlemen on here. If we can do that within 10 minutes. And that would be Kelly Nygren, Department Adjutant, American Vets, if he'd come up, and Maynard Katerlek, President of Vietnam Veterans of America. So those two would come up, and let's hear from you.
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe Mr. Nygren told me the AMVETs are probably not here today.
Okay.
I'm here for Vietnam Veterans of America. To my right is our National Service Officer, Julian Bailey. That is does our service rep program out of the Whipple Building. So I want to introduce her. I'm Maynard Katerlek. I'm President of Vietnam Veterans of America from Minnesota. I've been past president from 1998 until 2002. I'm back at it again for a couple more years. Vietnam Veterans of America, the information that was passed out, this information with the gentleman's face on the front is our national president, and just for your reading, what the national has done on a national level, which doesn't apply to the state, but for your reading enjoyment. I just want to go over a few things of what we've accomplished at the state level. We were incorporated in 1986. We presently, at this time, have 15 chapters in the state, of one which is an incarcerated chapter in Stillwater. The Minnesota State Council meets every 3 months with delegates from the chapters throughout the state. The State Council supports a VVA service representative program with which, at the Federal Whipple Building, our National Service Officer, Julian Bailey, who has advocated for veterans for 12 years thus far. She has helped veterans to get health and compensation benefits for their service-connected disabilities. The majority of these veterans live in Minnesota, and therefore the money from the compensation benefits is used in Minnesota. She represents veterans from all branches. The money that we do get from the state of Minnesota is solely marked for the service rep program, which Julie does for us. The State Council and the National Organization have also helped the newest veterans, a group called Veterans of Modern Warfare. This new organization is based out of Kansas City, Missouri, and Vietnam Veterans America is assisting them in establishing themselves. They need not to reinvent the wheel. Vietnam Veterans America will share our knowledge and our expertise. We do so because we abide by our founding principle, never again will one generation of veterans abandon another. Minnesota State Council membership has over the years helped at the standout events that assist homeless veterans and other veterans in need to obtain services. These standouts are held in Minneapolis, St. Cloud, Duluth, and Mankato. Julie Bailey will attend and has in the past attended the events to offer advocacy to these veterans if they need assistance with their claims. Members of our organization also volunteer to make these events successful. Vietnam Veterans of America Minnesota chapters have helped veterans in need many ways. They will donate time and funds to provide car repairs, food, clothing, rent house payments, and so on. The State Council also has successfully partnership with the unique thrift stores in providing vouchers to veterans in need of clothing or household goods. Each chapter independently will also assist these veterans. These chapters have also established a scholarship program for the members' children, grandchildren, as well as other students in need. The State Council and chapter support women veterans who stood by our sides during the war and long after and to this day, and we thank those ladies that have served our country in every era of every war, and we thank those ladies. Minnesota State Council was instrumentally involved with the creation of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial located on the Capitol grounds. Several chapters have color guards that provide honors for a deceased veteran. We, as the Minnesota State Council of Vietnam Veterans of America, support legislation that benefits our state veterans and their families. As we speak, we are at war. Let's take care of our veterans of past and present conflicts, because our freedom, which is not free, depends on their service. I want to, as Vietnam Veterans of America, we do offer to the Vietnam era veterans and other veterans, but probably more so, and I'd heard the gentleman, senator to the left of me, about welcome home. That's one thing we make sure we tell Vietnam veterans, welcome home, and the present veterans. We thank them for their service to their country and welcome them home, because that's something that got missed during the Vietnam War. Thank you for your time, and anything you can do for veterans, whether they're Vietnam veterans, Korean War, World War II, we're all veterans, we're in this together. Anything you do for us, we'd really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
Would you like to say a few words?
I will just say a few words. I want to thank you for allowing us to speak today, all the veterans. I think that we have a particularly...
Can I get you to give your name for the record?
I'm sorry. I am Julie Bailey. I'm National Service Officer for Vietnam Veterans. I just wanted to say that all the organizations do cooperate quite closely. I work in the Whipple Building where the other service organizations work. And we work hand in hand with claims, just being supportive of each other. I myself am not a veteran. I was certified 12 years ago, and my husband is a Vietnam veteran. My brother was, and our son was even a Navy veteran. Early entry program, so they took him in June when he graduated in June. So we do focus on Vietnam veterans because of their particular needs with Agent Orange claims, hepatitis C claims, post-traumatic stress claims, but we do help any veteran that comes to us for assistance. I have World War II veterans, Korean veterans, even some of the new veterans that have come back from Iraq and Afghanistan. So if you have any questions, we certainly would entertain questions.
I'm going to have time for a couple. I'm going to ask one first. If Mr. O'Connor, would you come back up there for a minute? I'm very concerned, as I think a lot of other members are, and I see that you represent the disabled American veterans.
Yes,
we
Mr.
lost
Chairman.
3,000 so far. There's 51,000 that have been injured. And we got to be sure we can take care of those young men and women that are coming back here with no arms and legs and 20 years. I call them kids, 20 years old. We have to have you help us, this committee, get them back to a life of so they can take care of their families and get going. But they need a little help.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I appreciate that comment, Mr. Chairman. I'm also a veteran of Iraq. I served over there twice. And in addition to that, Mr. Chairman, I just want to add that the extravagant number that you gave are the physically wounded. Please don't forget about the ones years down the road that may have some mental issues that they're going to have to deal with that are unidentified yet. And the current injury of this war, which is TBI, traumatic brain injury, and they're continuing to develop that and find more on that. And they're really starting to screen that more with the health assessments when they do return. But there's still many, many veterans that they're just now finding have TBI.
Mr. Connor, I want to tell you that this committee is taking a serious look at veterans coming back with mental problems. We lost one we shouldn't have in a suicide. So we're going to be sure that we can work with the VA, work within our rules, so that those people veterans don't slip through the cracks and we miss them. And that's going to be one of the things I'm going to drive in this committee. And we have other people here, I think, the same. So any other questions? If not, members, it's 5-4. I might take a question or two if one of you want to. I kind of apologize because we don't have more time, but to remember this bill will move along. As it moves along, we will do more work and more study. But I want this membership to remember, we're talking about the governor's bill, my bill, no. This is our bill, our committee bill. And all of you are just as important on this bill as I am. We all had a piece of it, but the final bill will come to this committee, and this is a budget committee, and pieces are here and there in higher red in other places, but it will end up in this committee, and we'll have to make the final decisions. So with that, members, we do have to be in another place. At least half of us do it at 4 o'clock. So thank you very much, and we are adjourned. There. There you go.